Today, end cycle or mid-cycle? That is the question. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. After the Fed cut last week, 25 basis points as you may recall, they were at pains to say this was a mid-course correction and insurance against deteriorating international conditions. It had little to do with local US conditions, which on their measures continues to look pretty good. But it's worth thinking about this some more. Some called the Fed's first rate cut in 12 years the most pointless rate cut in the history of the Fed. But as a note from the Bank of America said, the Fed looks to be intentionally underwriting Trump's trade war. As BOA's chief economist Michelle Meyer said, there is a circular framework in play, which, by the way, I think is a doom loop. This is that a negative feedback loop now exists, where the trade war hinders economic growth, which prompts additional Fed easing, which in turn allows for greater trade escalation, rinse and repeat. So, if global growth weakens further, or the trade wars escalate, both of which seem likely now, the Fed will ease further to provide an offset. And those who listened to Powell's 45-minute press conference will know that he mentioned the word global 20 times, trade 30 times, and uncertainty 9 times. His view was that their pivot in monetary policy from hikes to patience and now to cuts is part of the reason why the US economy has fared well, and much of monetary policy works through forward guidance. They signal intent, and the market responds. And by the way, they could have attributed the cut that they made to lower than expected wages growth and inflation if they'd wanted to, but no, they linked it to international issues. In the light of this, Bank of America thinks that the Fed will cut a cumulative 25 basis points in this, quote, mid-cycle correction, with the next cuts in September and October. But if the trade war escalates, it won't be a mid-cycle correction and instead will be the start of the real easing cycle. Thus, it's fair to conclude that the Fed is now officially the world's central bank. Any global economic instability anywhere in the world will lead to new record highs in US stocks. Now, as Michael Wilson, Morgan Stanley's chief equity strategist, points out, rate cuts are unequivocally positive for asset prices generally, yet the market reacted negatively, with stocks selling off last Wednesday afternoon, and rates plummeted across every tenor, leaving the yield curve still inverted. And he makes the point that investors should have been more focused on the fundamentals. Going into the Fed meeting last week, stocks had already discounted a dovish pivot and investors were potentially ignoring the continued deterioration in fundamentals. Then, on Thursday morning, trade resurfaced with President Trump's tweet that the US would levy a new 10% tariff on the remaining $300 billion of Chinese imports. This led to a sharp reversal in the afternoon, quashing any lingering hopes that the rally from June was intact. Markets looked to have been overly complacent about trade as well. And given the lack of any real progress in talks with China earlier in the week, that risk was still very much alive prior to the president's tweet. Most investors still think that this is a mid-cycle correction in the economy and that any Fed cuts are simply an insurance policy. But Morgan Stanley says that far from mid-cycle, we are already closer to end of cycle, especially for corporate profits. And he also points out that unlike the hype, second quarter earnings in the US have not been strong or even good. To the contrary, the results and guidance so far indicate that the S&P 500 forward 12-month consensus estimates remain too high and are likely to fall another 5 to 10%. So the bottom line is the financial market's initial negative reaction to the Fed's first rate cut since 2008 shouldn't have come as a surprise. Trade escalation is not a new risk. It was simply overlooked. Now, my view is that we are much nearer the end of the cycle than most see. And there are actually many signs internationally, from lower growth, trade tensions, ultra-low or negative interest rates, which will drive us towards a recession or worse globally. And I still think 2020 is the year, something which I've held for several years now, as you may know. Now, deeper cash rate cuts may postpone it a bit, by the way. But here in Australia, we'll get some more soundings from the RBA tomorrow. Expect no change to the cash rate, and in their statement on monetary policy on Friday, and that's the same day that Philip Lowe will testify to Parliament. But locally, the writing is already on the wall. Remember that consumers are spending less because either they choose to save more or because they do not have free cash, and business confidence and conditions is weaker. And indeed, the Australian industry group Australian Performance of Services Index fell by 8.3 points to 43.9 points in July 2019 on a seasonally adjusted basis. And this was the largest monthly fall since July 2018 and signalled a return to contraction. It suggests trading conditions for many businesses dived again in July, following 2 months of more positive results. Results below 50 points indicate contraction in the Australian PSI, with lower numbers indicating stronger rates of decline. And they said that the Australian PSI indicated expansion in 3 of the 8 service sectors in July. Among the business-orientated sectors, only wholesale trade reported positive results. Among the consumer-orientated segments, the large health, education and community services sector was the strongest, but the retail trade sector continued to perform very weakly, and all activity indicators in the Australian PSI were negative in July, with sales and new orders contracting at an especially steep rate. Deliveries, employment, inventories and capacity utilization were also weaker in July. So consumers are off and the business segment is off. And what about our international trade? In addition to the fallout from the trade wars between China and the USA, the price of some of our leading exports is falling. For example, iron ore is down to $103 from a 52-week high of $123.19, as well as weaker demand, especially from China. And Brazil has upped its exports following the Vale disaster. The same price falls can be seen in the coal sector too, from a high of $116 last September to $74 now. This means ahead we will see a lower contribution to our balance of payments from some exports, although perhaps some offsets partly due to a lower Aussie dollar, and in fact the Aussie continued lower today. And the final element is government spending, which has been running at a fast rate both at a state and federal level. But if the surplus is to be protected, this cannot go on growing, especially if export receipts shrink. Thus, standing back, I think we are very late cycle in Australia as more indicators turn south, which is one reason why I'm still holding to more home price falls ahead, even if in the short term we get some steadying. Even the provisional auction clearance results were lower this past weekend. But the colossus is the US. And if that continues to weaken, partly Trump-inspired, then even there, the late cycle call may well be right, in which case the parallels with a decade back just got a whole lot stronger. Except this time, banks do hold more capital, but also more derivatives, while household balance sheets in some countries such as Australia and New Zealand are worse, far worse, thanks to high debts, flat incomes and rising costs. So folks, place your bets, mid-cycle or late cycle. And by the way, before I go, mark your diaries, the next DFA live stream event is scheduled for the 20th of August, that's Tuesday, at 8 p.m. Sydney time. You can ask questions real time via the live chat or send in questions beforehand via the DFA blog. The link is below. And a big thank you to all those sending messages of support to us as Jill remains in hospital. We both really appreciate them all at this difficult time. And a special shout out to Wendy, whose letter arrived in the mail today. Many thanks. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.